Hey, what's up? It's Jeremy from the Devil Wears Prada, and you're watching CMS TV.
It is Eric. It is Chris Aiken Presents. We are back. We are live. You guys can leave a message in the chat room. And if it's remotely decent, maybe I'll put it on the screen. I don't know. I'm a little feisty tonight, so maybe I'll tell you to go fuck yourself. I don't know, but we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Now, Eric, I do have a definite topic that I want to talk to you specifically about as a guitar player. So Michael Anthony Van Halen came out today.
Okay.
Or I guess it's a couple days ago, but the article came out today. And just like Wolfgang Van Halen said, they're not directly saying it, but they're indirectly saying that David Lee Roth is holding up them doing a tribute to Eddie.
Oh. Okay.
Like they wanted to do the Taylor Hawkins thing, have a big giant show. And they're saying that David Lee Roth is being a cunt and is holding it up. My question to you is this. It's actually two questions. First question, why do they need his approval? Why? Could me and you not put together a Van Halen tribute?
They might need to. Maybe he needs to sign off on the early era stuff.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know what, or is he holding it up like they want him to be a part of it? Like it's worth it to wait till Roth is a part of it or something. I'm guessing. I'm spitballing. You threw this.
Yeah, no, I know. I just. But at what point? I mean, Eddie's been dead 2 years. I don't think anybody's going to argue. People may argue he's the greatest guitar player of our life, of our generation.
Right.
But nobody's going to argue that he's in the top three. Is that fair, would you say?
I'd say so. It's like an all-around influence and stage performer and groundbreaker. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, you literally had 1,000 bands sell millions of records based on what Eddie taught you guys. Right. Everybody from that era stole from Eddie Van Halen. That's just the way it is. It's true.
Yeah, as far as inspiring people to try to pick up a guitar or something, he's one of those ones that sold a lot of guitars because of him.
Mm-hmm. So with that said... Why not just do it? Why not say, well, fuck Roth. He stinks anyway, so leave him home.
Well, I'm sure that ultimately that will happen at some point. And, you know, Wolfie always will have the ability to do that. He's still so young. You know, he's only, what, 30? Is he 30 now?
He's almost 40, believe it or not.
Oh, really? Okay.
He's older.
He can for another 20 years, you know. He could do Van Halen tributes. The rest of his life, he could do stuff, little tributes to his dad based off that. He's getting better and better on guitar.
He's 33, by the way.
Sorry. Yeah. He just looks, no. He's 33. He's young, man. And he plays guitar great. I thought he was, maybe guitar was his main thing, right? And then bass is something his dad just did to get him into the that lineup, right? Maybe that wasn't really his instrument. So that's interesting that they are both. He is predominantly a guitarist. And, he performs his songs, flawlessly. And I noticed, as far as Wolfie singing the songs, he's got a great lead singer voice. You have to be able to perform that often and never have a bad night vocally. And it's not a matter of whether I like his songs or not, but I'm getting more familiar with them and listening to him perform them. He truly does a great job for his health. Well, I'd like to see him lose a few pounds. just like Chris, I'm very happy to see Chris making an effort. I'm trying to make a little effort too. I feel like I'm trimming down a little bit. I was getting back up there this last year, and with being on stage, there's zero tolerance with that,
right?
You know what I mean? Zero. So I hear about it when I start growing an extra chin,
right? Right,
my band. God, I hope I don't mess this up. Hold on. Ooh, gotta build this up. Oh my God, stay, please. I feel like I'm like getting lower and lower trying to.
Whoops. No, I mean, I agree with you about the Wolfie part, but the other parts are the problem. Sammy Hagar is almost 80. Alex is almost, he's in his 70s, I'm thinking.
Right.
You know, Michael Anthony's got to be close to 70 at this point, too.
I think it'd be, you know, as we're talking about this, and I wasn't mentally prepared to talk about it, but I'm thinking about it, there's a point where I'd rather see Wolfie with people that could really still perform all the Van Halen songs really good.
Well, and if it's a tribute, too, I mean, think about that Foo Fighter, and I'm not a Foo Fighters fan at all. Mm-hmm. I could give a shit. But they got a bunch of people that just came in because they respected Taylor Hawkins. You know, you could get, I guarantee you, if there was a big announcement that they were going to have at the LA at the Forum, right, they were going to have this big 20,000 seats tribute to Van Halen. Don't you think that every major legitimate singer and every major legitimate guitar player would come out to be part of this?
Right.
I mean, you would get Satriani, you would get Bonamassa, right, you would get...
You could do that, you know, and then for your singer wise, like a Ralph from Steel Panther to come up for some of the songs. You have the classic Van Halen stage or something from like one of the old Fair Warning tours would be pretty cool. Although it would. I think, yeah. Anyways, something like that, and everybody just comes up using that same equipment, and they just do all the old stuff would be amazing. There's a ton of singers that could do it now and guitarists that are younger. It doesn't have to be these guys that are necessarily 70 years old that they got to bring in. It would be cool to see some of the people around, you know, my age or younger come in and put on an amazing, you know, high performance show and then bring out Roth and Hagar or something for a final song or two at the end of the night, maybe. But there's a part of me that when it comes to a certain age of some of these performers, I almost don't want to see them play anymore.
And Roth is one of them. Roth is definitely one of those guys.
Right.
I mean, quite honestly, and you don't have to answer this because I know you work with a lot of people that might work with Roth.
Right.
I don't, so I can be honest. I would rather see Roth not be a part of this than see him on stage doing his bullshit jazz hands and swinging a dumb sword and singing poorly. I would much rather see Ralph from Steel Panther. I'd much rather see Jizzy come out and do a song, right, or Mark Torian.
Oh, there you go. Mark for sure. Mark.
Yeah, I mean, Mark's got that Ted Templeman background with him with the first Bullet Boys records. And, you know, he was listed. I mean, that was the selling point of the Bullet Boys, was that they had this singer that was kind of the new David Lee Roth back in... when Smooth Up In You came out, that was kind of the selling point.
You know, you got to have Dave Grohl, the great Dave Grohl, even though Dave he probably Grohl. Doesn't sound like it, but you know.
And he would show up, but he would show up.
You have A-list people to make it an event.
Well, and I think that you would. Dude, I think you would get Lizzie Hale would show up. Zakk Wylde would show up.
Yep.
I mean, I literally can't think of anybody that wouldn't show up. I think a Metallica guy would show up. I think Hetfield would probably show up.
Yngwie would not show up.
Well, who cares?
The only one.
He's probably the only one, but I mean, that's just because he's a jealous asshole. But, you know, I mean, I'm saying from rock to metal, I think you'd have the big R&B guys would show. I think Post Malone shows up for this thing.
Cool and the Gang's blowing up.
I mean, honestly, don't you think Machine Gun Kelly would show up?
God, I hope not.
But he would. Post Malone would.
Right.
It would be, but I'm just saying they would. I'm saying that Eddie Van Halen is a big enough name.
Yes.
That it is almost insulting to not do a tribute to him.
I'm going to put my money that Wolfie's going to do something either way. He's 33 years old. He could do this when he's 35. It wouldn't make a difference. It makes a difference to Hagar and Roth every year that he waits. You know what I mean? Like, it makes a difference in their lives to where he won't have to involve them in it probably if he waits a couple years. Well,
but where's the line of time, if you see it at all, and if you don't, tell me, is there a line of time where it's too late to do it? I mean, it's already been over 2 years since Eddie died.
No, you could have a tribute to Jimi Hendrix, you know, although maybe in the young people's, the young consumer's mind, they might not care. I don't know how Jimi Hendrix like rates with a 15-year-old boy nowadays or not. You know what I mean? But Eddie Van Halen, you know, anybody that's my age was so into it that he probably is playing that music for his son.
Yeah.
Who's only 20, who now loves it too. So he will, in fact, be able to wait even another 10 years and still be able to do a big thing. But I would, if I was to guess, you know, he could easily wait a couple years to do this if there's some kind of weird thing. I don't have an answer what Roth could do to stop this thing from happening, unless they just wanted to include him and he's being a dick. You
know? My honest to God thought with what he could do right now to stop the thing is badmouth it.
Right.
Which they don't want. They do not want to announce this big
smear it. Yeah.
This big nice thing. And then have him out there going, well, these guys fucked me over. They didn't invite me to do this. Why am I formed Van Halen. I started it with Eddie.
There was a lot of mud. Again, you're jogging my memory here. I believe there was some personal mudslinging between the two in the last 6 months. So maybe they're waiting for the smoke to clear. Hopefully they can, you know, Roth can take the higher ground there and make amends for, you know, the Van Halen legacy's sake.
But I would hope. I mean, I know that they don't owe the fans anything, but God damn it, the fans want this. The fans really want this thing. They don't owe him, but you know,
well, you know, it's funny because Roth is like, he's always been a attention seeker. So, you know, I don't know if you could keep him and put him back in the closet or put the lid on the genie bottle you know, permanently. I'm sure at some point he's going to get bored and agree to do something. It just might, there might be a few months there. He's probably just being a pain. But meanwhile, you see Wolfie out there doing a lot of things. I'm seeing him being invited to all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Events.
Well, he's talented. He's talented. Yeah. And he's honestly, I mean, if you really think about it, he's one of the probably top three rock guys of this generation, like that are of this era, not a product of our era. You know, it'd be him, Lizzie Hale. Then who? I don't know who else it would be. Honestly, I don't even know who else it would be behind those two.
We need more of them.
We do.
Because, you know, it bums me out. Like, we should mention the closing of was Sam Ash stores.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that, too. Does that just not scream that nobody wants to be in a band anymore?
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, showing a lack of interest in an instrument, which I don't know what to think about that because I see so many videos with young people playing guitar that I'm kind of confused. Are they just all ordering the stuff online? Why is this store, 100-year-old store, having to shut down? But, you know, with the where currently the music business is, where most people have a $10 a month Apple subscription, that is not going to cover all the music these people are consuming. So with that said, there's no motivation anymore to make albums. There's no, obviously the record industry has figured out the cheapest way to make a product to sell to kids. And it's this crap rap shit.
Yeah.
And it's the fake music. It's all done by on a computer. There's really no guitars in it. And it's super cheap to produce. It only takes one person to make it, one guy to come in and rap on it. They stick somebody, a fake person out there to lip sync it. It's like a manufactured garbage. And the true creative souls out there, they can't afford to like go out and make these albums for with the way things are set up right now.
How are you going to compete? You know, I don't know this to be true, but I certainly very hardcore believe that Motley Crue did that new song with AI.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe for a minute, I don't believe for 1 second, no matter what anybody says, that Nikki Sixx locked himself in a room and started crafting a song. I don't believe it. I hear that song and it sounds like every other AI shitbag song that I hear. Hmm. And it's like, you know, and... How do you compete with that? Right. They're a big name, and they didn't have to put any time into the stupid thing. How is a young band that nobody's heard of, how do you compete with that?
Right. Well, in some cases, though, too, with when there's younger acts, not all the time are the younger ones writing the hit songs, too. I mean, there's, you know, other artists that kind of come in or songwriters. But those people, you know, it takes money to make that happen, you know, to have people come in and co-write songs. So this young band with the cool look and the natural talent can actually put out a hit song. You know what I mean? But without there being money in it now, it's like hard to polish these young artists up, you know. It is concerning. You know, another thing too, when you know, I was on Reddit and I was going to make a complaint about Delta, about their grift that I've complained about in the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless I lie about what's in my case, they will try to charge me basically $300 extra on a round trip to take my guitar case. And it's just such a grift, because if I say it's anything else, they don't care. And people that have big things like golf clubs and different items don't have to pay anything. But if you select your special oversized item, which when you have to check something like that, obviously when they ask you what's the item, if you make the mistake of pushing musical instrument, you're screwed. They're going to charge you $150 each way. Each, I don't know, because they, what's lame about it and what should be, you know, illegal, I would like to sue them for this or lead some kind of class action suit, because they do nothing differently. When they charge that amount, it still goes with the golf clubs. They don't like go, well, that covers the insurance policy in case we destroy your $3,000 guitars in there. No, they do not pay for any of that. They would only cover like the damage to the case or something, you know, if that were to happen. So yeah, it's a weird total grift. Now, I went on to Reddit on the Delta sub forum, and I put a thing and I showed my case. I was so surprised how I was bombarded with people that called me an entitled little whiny bitch for even saying anything. Yeah, I was really freaking shocked. And again, it put me in a bad way, because I found myself getting into a war.
A war with Reddit. With assholes.
Yeah. I even doxed myself at one point. One guy said something that totally triggered me. He's like, well, I guess it's time to get a new hobby then.
Yeah, it's like, fuck you, cocksucker. I'm in a band that sold 40 million records, dick.
Sometimes, you know, it's funny, like you said that, like a little egotistical little thing. And sometimes I'll get like that. I got to pull myself back. I'm like, I ain't one of the fucking, you know, original rat guys. Yeah. Like, calm down, Eric, calm down.
Yeah, but at the same time, you're not in a local band that's hoping to play the fucking opening slot at 7 a.m. on a Tuesday.
No, and I can tell you, bar. I do, Stephen takes very good care of me, and I'm not doing any other work. This is my profession. And just the things that they were saying to me were just like unbelievable. Like I could not get them to understand how unfair it is, of what was happening. They just saw me as some guy that if I was really a big deal, it wouldn't matter if I had to pay another $300 on
flight. Why wouldn't it matter? Oh,
I take hundreds of flights a year. How could $300 not matter to me? Like if they did that to some guy in his golf clubs, which on one of them, he was saying, well, I told him that, look, my case only comes out to 45 pounds. I know what it was. I had said, because when you're on a Delta forum, you know, you might want to mention what status you are for what Delta, how Delta handled the situation or what they allowed to do baggage wise. So I had mentioned that I was platinum medallion, which you got to do a lot of goddamn flights for that. I'm not, you know, diamond, because we do take other airlines too. I'm close to it, close to that. But with that said, you're supposed to get 3 free checked bags. You're supposed to get priority boarding. Well, they haven't changed the bag thing. The boarding thing changed. Like that yesterday, I was group 7. I was group 7. Okay, that's like one of the last people on the plane. Right. I go, what's going on with this? I'm platinum medallion. And he's like, oh, well, your ticket was sold at a discount, so you don't get the priority boarding.
Oh, fuck.
I was like, you gotta be. This is how they're solving the gate problem, where everybody just moves in at one time. Terrible. But with the baggage thing, that's the same. So they're supposed to be giving me a free bag. So the thought that me coming in with 2 suitcases, 1 suitcase, 1 small suitcase, and my guitar thing, and they're trying to charge me $300. So this guy said to me, well, my my golf bag only comes, even though it's oversized, it comes out to less than 50 pounds. And I'm like, yeah, well, how would you feel if they charge you $300 to take it?
Yeah.
And so why am I having to explain this to you assholes?
Yeah. How would this asshole feel if you went and kicked in the side of his car and then you just said, well, you have insurance. What do you fucking care?
You're a big star. What do you care if I just broke your fucking windshield? Yeah. That's totally the treatment these people are giving me. You think they'd be like, cool about it or go, hey, that's not right. Yeah, you're supposed to get this. And, you know, I told them about how the only ways that I could circumvent them trying to charge that is either one, lie about what's in the case.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Forum Karens. Exactly. Which I do. I say that there's skis, right? That there's skis. And what was funny is yesterday I had a sassy lady, right? Because of where I told you I was.
Mm-hmm.
I think this was in Maryland. And she goes, what that? What's in there? And I go, oh, there's skis. What? Keys? Did you say keys? And I'm like, no, ma'am. I said skis. Skis? Which I sounded gay when I just said that. I go, there's skis. Skis? I ain't never seen no skis like that. And I go, oh shit, my ski thing's starting to fall apart. And also when I'm like going to places like Texas and shit, they're like, skis?
What do you water no skis?
Yeah. Hey, oh, thanks, Chris. Fuck, I didn't even think of that. Water skis. Yeah. Like when Fonzie jumped the shark.
That's right. What your excuse is doing. It's jumping the shark.
Yeah. My excuse. I'm like, I was even trying to think, what else? Where can I go with this? Because I'm going to these places that are literally flat and hot and never see snow. I was thinking that, I design skis and they're prototypes I'm working on with my, if I have to get my backstory together. You know, she said that to me. She was like, and I started, so I was concerned that my thing might not work all the time. So when I was telling them what I do, how I circumvent it with the skis, or my only other option is a shitty one where I'd have to put the guitars in a soft case and lug them on the plane and take up a whole bin, which nobody wants to see.
And that's also what you want to do, right? Put your guitars in a bin and have every other asshole that opens the case fingering your guitars.
Oh, yeah. They open it up and try to shove their shit in.
Oh, let me see if I can move this. Or they accidentally crack the neck because they're trying to jam their oversized bag in there.
They do. They don't give a fuck.
They don't care.
I hate it. It reminded me, but seeing all these people attack me, the Karens, as our friend put it on there, it made me go, oh, my God. These are all the assholes that I fly with every day. All the inconsiderate pieces of shit that I fly with on these flights. But they were just coming at me. They just kept coming at me. They're like, I'm surprised you don't have a private jet, big star. Like, these people have no idea what it's like to play the national act. I mean, sure, the Rolling Stones have their own jet. And maybe at some point, Motley had their own jet. You know, I know
Iron Maiden.
Brett Michaels does have a private jet. There are some very successful people, but these stars, like people like Brett Michaels or Vince Neil or somebody, they've also had a lot of TV success.
Yeah. Well, and that's exception. Bottom line is that's the exception, not the rule.
Right. Most bands are taking commercial flights, folks.
Yeah.
Okay. So they have probably most of the time, if they're a relevant band, are on a tour bus. And I'd prefer that. I would prefer just ground rolling it. I don't want to deal with airports, but most bands get paid to do flyouts. And so we do flyouts. And yes, it would be, I could upgrade to first class. I have the miles to do it, but I'm saving them. I have like hundreds of thousands of miles on Delta.
Right.
To use unleash sugar smack. Yes, I would like to. Sugar smack would like to poison everybody on that flight. My God.
Vince Neil does not have a plane. Stop it.
He's the Vince Neil's planes.
Vince does not have a plane, does he?
I think it's so. Well, I totally remember Motley having a Dr. Field.
Well, Motley did back in the day, but Vince Solo does not have a plane.
They lease those, by the way. I think, you know, these artists don't generally buy a plane. I'm sure that's like buying a boat, like not necessarily a good investment, but I think they lease them from plane companies. Oh, on the subject. I'm going to do an adjustment here. Hopefully this doesn't screw it up. Hold on. Okay. This is much better. Thank you. Okay. You asked me about the staging. Do you recall that?
I do. Yeah.
What is this? What's Fuego asking here? When you stand back and think about it, who has the time and desire to post all day in support forums? It explains for itself. Well, in part, like that is most of the reading that I do, Fuego, is like, I don't like to watch a lot of TV. I'm just always on Reddit. I subscribe to so many different types of forums. I'm always reading articles. Chris and I share stuff. Oh, yeah. Typically, I'm just lurking and I just thumbs down a lot of people, you know, which was happening to me in this thing, by the way. I thought people would understand and give a thumbs up. Like, yeah, get something done about this. Save rock music. No. It was like, yeah, screw this guy. Thumbs down. You know, hey, Flea wouldn't care about a $300 Flea.
Yeah.
Flea.
I bet you wouldn't care either if you were making Flea's money.
Man, I ain't not making Flea's money, folks.
What do you think Flea makes for a gig? Oh, 200 grand?
You know, probably Chili Peppers probably do get, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to play. And he probably is walking away with like,
that's what I'm saying. I mean, the Chili Peppers probably make a mil to a gig.
That's right.
So yeah, you know, he probably makes $200,000 or $300,000 every time he shows up.
You know, I'm definitely playing for an iconic guy in a band, and I'm super stoked. I hate to overuse the blessed, you know, thing, because it was a lot of hard work. But the fact that we're still able to play this music that's really aged, you know,
yeah,
that we're able to still go out, do that, and play rock festivals. I'm so lucky. Like, I'm at the point where, like, man, enjoy every show, because this could end. It's going to end. I mean, how many years could it go on? Yeah. So I'm trying to make the most of it, be happy and grateful, you know, mostly grateful. And hey, let's just all have a last big 80s rock party. Our age group, Chris, they still love that stuff. I was subjected to more bad karaoke at this thing.
Yeah,
what's a little late? You just saw the tail end. There was some other bad ones too. Surprisingly, there were some good ones that were earlier in the night that were actually kind of cool, but then it just like got horrific again, and I had to do another video for my subscriber page of somebody trying to sing a Van Halen song, right? You never see that. You never see somebody trying to do a Van Hagar song. That was pretty ballsy.
Yeah.
And I think it was like, was it Dreams? They were doing Dreams. Oh God, it's already a rough
really
one.
Really hard.
Yes, hi-ya! It's really
way this guy up there,
killing us. So, anyways, I forgot what I was talking about. let's go on the staging thing.
Yeah, the staging
I have
thing.
An answer for it. So let me try to remember, because I told him about what we talked about, where you said what happened to all these 80s stages and stuff. Well, there was, like I thought, a staging company in Los Angeles that would basically store these stages. Now. Okay. One thing that would happen sometimes is if the money wasn't paid on the thing, they would like go and sell it off.
Okay. Know?
The one time that it was sold that actually was authorized by the band, Richard Marx purchased one of the stages, and that was like
the whole stage.
The whole stage, yeah.
Richard
Marx, which is kind of what I had mentioned to you. I think some bands they're looking for a stage for their show, so they'll hit up one of these and grab a stage that some band isn't using. But there was some shifty stuff. From the way he explained it to me, there was some shifty stuff that happened.
Okay,
where this stuff would get sold out from underneath, and he actually did mention being really upset with that in some situations where he finds out that stage is gone, it got sold, and because Steven was probably the one that cared the most about putting on an awesome Rat stage back in the day. So in some of the situations, it was an authorized sale of the equipment. They also, like I thought, had purchased stuff for their thing as well. So it's pretty much how I suspected everything I said on that last episode. But the only name that he mentioned as far as buying their stuff was Richard Marx, he had mentioned.
Well, what an odd, of all the guys you would expect to buy a Rat stage, I wouldn't expect Richard Marx.
I think it was the one with all the mirrors too, which was a pretty iconic one.
Okay, yeah.
When Rat first came out, they had ones that had a lot of stairs that kind of went up. Can he tell me where they got that from? He did. But I'll have to tell you next week where he said that they got that one. But they used to put that one up in, like, you know, Gazaris or whatever. They would have the big – those guys really went all out back then, even in the 80s, playing on the Sunset Strip. They would bring in, like, big stages and take it all serious. And Steven brought that into the Rat thing where every year, like, okay, we're going to design this this year. They would spend a lot of damn money on that stuff. Hell,
dude, and do you remember that they would kick bands, the opening bands, off the set for using parts of the stage that wasn't approved? A famous one for that was Warrant. Warrant got kicked off the Poison tour. It was Poison, Warrant, and somebody else. And Warrant, like third show in, they had told Warrant not to use the, what do you call it, the ramps or whatever.
Right. Yep.
And Warrant kept using the ramps. And after like three gigs of it, fucking Brett Michaels said, hey, beat it. Get off our tour.
Well, you know, Bon Jovi opened for Rat when they first came out. For anybody who doesn't remember that, they originally opened for Rat. The favor was kind of returned when Steven had Arcade in like 1990 or 91. Mm-hmm. They got to open for Bon Jovi, I think in Japan maybe or something. I don't know. But
okay,
our good friend Donnie Syracuse, who was the other guitarist in Arcade, was told the same thing. You know, he's like, do not go out on that ego ramp. Right. Night one, Donnie just runs out there. Oh, you know, it's like, you know, but that is a common thing. Yeah. Where the headliner will tell you to stay off a certain area.
Yeah.
So you don't want to mess around with that.
But at least back in that day, I'll tell you where it progressed to now is that they just fill up all their space with gear.
Yeah.
So that they can't run around on it. Because right. Anytime I see a show like that has a big stage like that, they put the opening band way up front and they jam mm-hmm. all kinds of shit with cover on it and stuff, that there's no room any mm-hmm. of that staging. And then they like almost like peeling an orange, they just peeling an onion. They peel the layers back until finally it's a big open stage for the headliner. Yep. But yeah, I miss those days. I miss when it was competitive like that. And believe it or not, I saw one of those shows with Rat and Motley. It was in, or not Rat and Motley, Bon Jovi. Rat and Bon Jovi in 80, either 4 or early 85. I don't remember what year it was exactly, but I went to it and it was a kick-ass show. It was really nice. And I was so, you know, dude, I mean, Rat and Bon Jovi were like two of my favorites at that point. I was like all in on Out of the Cellar. I was all in on Invasion. I was all in on 7800 Fahrenheit. Like I was all in on those two bands. And right. to see them together, that was like a major highlight of my, you know, teenage years. It was a good show.
Nice. Good yeah, shit. It's rad. And that magic, I still see that kind of magic happening today, which is amazing that so many years later you'd see that. Because like I'm saying, it's a weird like time-space continuum when you start doing the math. Like, okay, if you're talking 40 years before, like, and it was 1980, and you're talking about like a band that came out in 1940, like, what would that sound like? Like, put your hand in my pocket, give it, how do you do? Yeah. You know, it'd be like some like goofy music from like
yeah, what,
40 years before. And we're still playing this. And it's like, I don't know if Rat was ahead of their time or the whole movement was ahead of its time. But how the hell are we still hearing these songs and not thinking it sounds like, put your hand in my pocket?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because nothing replaced it.
Maybe.
I mean, yeah. Honestly, everything that replaced it was very short term. Grunge was short term, emo was short term, screamo was short term. You know, all that stuff was short.
Mm-hmm.
The 80s sound pretty much had a 20-year, I mean, if you go all the way back to the late 70s and the early Y&T and that kind of stuff. And if you go into that and look at that range of, you know, it went from the 70s, from like 77, 78, all the way into the, mid-90s before it really died. I mean, yeah there was grunge, but all those bands were still making records until like the mid-90s.
Right.
And that's when it officially just kind of died. But
a lot of cyclical stuff happening. I mean, you know, I hear some of the stations Susan listens to in her car, the bands are, you know, recreating the sounds from the 60s and 70s in mm-hmm. some cases, and you know, just younger dudes doing it again now, but they're just totally, they're like hipster people that do it usually, like the hipster sure. bands are kind of that way. But yeah, they just already had to go back, oh, we got to go back and recycle now, turn that wheel around, shroop, okay. And because a lot of this, the music from today, like you said, nobody's breaking any new ground, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, like that Polyphia sound, oh, I can't see that really going mainstream too much, you know. Uh-huh. or any of those songs have an, I don't know. I can't say that band has a song that I know or a hit or something sure. I can sing along to or something. Or,
you well, know. I mean, dude, think about if you pick an era, a 10-year swing of any since rock and roll has been going.
Mm-hmm.
With the 50s, you can name, I don't know, Elvis comes right off your mind, or Chuck Berry, or, right. you know, you can name bands. Right. Four Tops, you know, whatever. 60s, you could certainly name Beatles, Stones, Who, etc. 70s, Eagles, you know, zillion bands, Zeppelin, zillion right. bands from the 70s. 80s, all the hair bands, yeah. or even all the heavy bands, the, you know, the Testaments and Metallicas and Megadeths and Anthrax and Slayer and, you yeah. know. 90s, you got your grunge. 2000s, you got, you know, your Korn, Limp Bizkit, mm-hmm. Disturbed, Deftones.
Mm-hmm.
Next two eras, you can't name bands anymore.
Right.
I mean, think about it. 2010s. Give me five bands from the 2010s that are
I can
huge.
Give you, I can give you like Avenged Sevenfold, maybe the Breaking Benjamin.
It's two.
That's two.
Lizzie Hale, Hailstorm.
Yeah, I mean, but it does you start to struggle a little more.
Yeah, Bullet for My Valentine, maybe, but I even think that's older.
Atreyu? Is that
but, would you count them on the same level as the Eagles?
Well, obviously not the frickin'
That's Eagles. What I'm saying. I'm talking big bands.
No.
The 2010s, none. And 2020s, we're 4 years in. There ain't a single one.
Right.
There's not one new band that's really breaking down doors.
No.
I mean, it's a 20-year swing of nothing.
Right.
Or everything's gone underground. There's still tons of bands. I'll argue this with anybody all day long. There's a ton of great music out there. None of it is big because none of it has any support.
Right.
You know, all the support goes to fucking Lil Wayne and 2 Chainz and, you know, and shitty pop that's called
we
country.
We talked about that. Like Rolling Stone is the worst offender of that right mm-hmm. now. Like just yeah. pushing garbage. We're
just junk. Well,
has it always been that way? Because
yes.
that wasn't my go-to magazine growing up. I like Rolling Stone was, magazine and all that.
Rolling Stone was always shit. All the bands that they always promoted were always shit.
Okay.
Dude, every one of those hipster bands that we all hate was mm-hmm. were those heavily promoted bands in Rolling Stone. The REMs, the Elvis Costellos,
the Go-Go's.
Lou Reed. Stop it. The Go-Go's were awesome. Thank you. I cannot tell you what a crush that I had on Belinda Carlisle.
I might have too. No, who did I like in that one? Oh, yeah.
Or Jane. Jane, too, but yeah, Belinda yeah. Carlisle. Some of those pictures of Belinda Carlisle when she was punk chick with no bra and the tight shirts on. Ooh, she was a hot piece of ass, let me tell you. And her songs were great, too. My Lips Are Sealed, great song. I don't care which lips they are. They were sealed, yeah. and that was tragic.
From what I heard, they weren't sealed.
That's what I've heard, too. I wish they weren't
was
sealed
this
for
a
me.
Video or something that went out, like with some of the road crew. They were like,
oh, I've not seen that. I would definitely watch some porn of Belinda Carlisle. I would love to see
Our
that.
Lips are not sealed.
Yeah, I had a big thing for her. And I liked the Go. I actually saw the Go-Go's twice. They were pretty good.
Nice.
Good live band.
I saw her. I saw Belinda at the Burbank Airport probably like 7 or 8 years ago. And okay. yeah, she was like, she looked fantastic. You know, she just looked like a sexy, mature woman, you know, but she yeah. had her so different. I mean, when she first came out, she was a little pudgy and, you know, had her baby fat.
Right.
And then you see her, she's just like a woman. Yep. Dude really? Bros gets it.
Dude, nothing wrong with that. But yeah, I mean, dude, and I mean, it's funny even when you think about that, what we were talking about before about the musical by eras.
Mm-hmm.
There was more than one style of music that also had huge bands in every era. You know, while we're naming all rock bands, you could go to the 60s and go Four Tops and Temptations and,
right.
you know, those types of things. And 70s had a bunch of pop stuff. And obviously the mm-hmm. 80s had Michael Jackson and
right.
Prince and, you know.
Well, when we find out about those bands, you know, or like you find out that there was like a studio, one studio band that mm-hmm. was doing it all.
Yeah,
in in the pop market.
The Wrecking Crew.
Wrecking Crew and the Funk Brothers, those two entities, like, created pretty much all the hits as we know it from mm-hmm. like the 60s, you know, moving towards the probably 70s up until then. When people caught a whiff of that, there was a little bit of a backlash, which kind of hopefully is happening again, because we are finding out that, oh, there's a guy in Sweden that's actually writing all these hits. It's one dude, you know, and like people find that out. It bums them out because mm-hmm. they want to believe that the artist wrote it themselves and they're a god or a creator, you know?
Yeah.
And you find out it's not really that way. But they're all, everybody's usually, back in the day, we're all great performers and they sold these songs, you know?
Well, and they didn't have the options either. They couldn't sit in their house and record an album. They had to get in a room. They had to fight for their parts.
Right.
I think that's the biggest thing missing today in music creation is that you don't have guys throwing punches to get their parts in.
Right.
You say what you will. Steven's band, Rat.
Yeah.
Those guys fought each other to get every song done.
Oh, just not to get a secret. Their songs in, probably.
That's what I mean. Dokken's another one. Those guys did not like each other. They fought every step of the way to get every goddamn song. But the songs were really good. Mm-hmm. Why? Because if they weren't, then they got, you know, somebody got punched in the mouth and that song got axed.
Right.
You know, that's why think about it, dude. When you listen to damn near every record, no matter who it is from the 80s, if it's got 10 songs, 7 of them are good, really good.
Right.
There's a couple fillers here and there. There's, you know, there's the You Got Me on the Lines of the World or the fucking
Hello.
You know, or the Bullets to Spare from Dokken or whatever. You know, there's those songs that were not necessarily great, but for the most part, you listen to those records from start to finish.
Yeah.
And it's not tough. Yeah. It's not tough. Where now you listen to a record, it's like, all right, I'm gonna skip this one. I'm gonna skip this one. I'm gonna skip this one. I'm gonna make a playlist with only these two.
back then, there was literally millions of dollars going into these bands.
Hell yeah!
You know what I mean, when you have all the production, everything costed more back then.
Mm-hmm.
So there was, they had producers, you know, in Rat's case, Bo Hill, was a part of that, you know, writing team, and, you know, definitely played some stuff here and there, you know, with the drums. And, but, you know, you had a young talent like Rat, where all the guys in Rat were fantastic musicians for how young they were too. I mean, without a doubt. And so you take a more seasoned, you know, producer could go in and make sense of it all. Mm-hmm. You know, and together they would do it. Steven being a huge part, though, you know, certainly writing the majority of his, you know, vocals and lyrics and stuff. But there was always that tension. But sometimes, like you said, all that stuff can bring out something great.
Yeah, the tension worked. I bet you if Steven was being really honest, which I know with their history and all the legal and stuff, and would probably be hard. But if you caught him at home, not in an interview, but just at home shooting the shit, mm-hmm. he would probably admit that, you know what, Blotzer made this part of this song better, or Juan made this part of this song better.
Let me tell you this, like, no matter what legal dramas those guys have going on, mm-hmm. Steven still at the end of the day knows that they all did it together.
They did.
And I just saw him the other day. He put something about, so Bert Blotzer had posted a photo and Steven still talks to him and he's like, Blotzer's Rat, you know, or he hashtag something. And he looked back on the moment fondly, Steven, you know, so Steven doesn't keep hatred in his heart. You know what I mean? He mm-hmm. lets shit go. He's the first guy they'll probably forget about some bullshit that happened. You know what I mean? The other guys, maybe not so much. You know what I mean? It sucks. And of course, I see some of that now. You know, we were going to get the, oh, I'm not too cut. Some guy, I had to block some dude that's been on my Facebook for like 5 years for some comment he made. Because somebody was like, you know, Eric Ferrantino's rocks or something. He's like, yeah, Eric Ferrantino's rocks. What about Warren J. Martino? It was like, oh, come on, man. That's an obvious one, but you didn't need to say that on my page. Bye. Yeah, you know, somebody else was, it wasn't on my page, but I think I got tagged in something, and all the comments were so good and positive and embracing of, you know, the Piercy band. And then this person, you know, got up and was like, hey, I'm not too comfortable with that backdrop. That's pretty deceiving. Yeah. You know, and I'm thinking, you know, if any guy in this band has a right to throw those marks up there, it's Piercy, who designed them, came up with the name, did everything.
He really shared it with the other guys.
That's right. Don't
it was Mickey that. Rat before it was Rat.
That's
he
right.
shared that with the rest of those guys.
Now, by this guy's logic, you know, to talk about a bit, to bring up a band that we mentioned earlier, you know, Queensryche, you know, mm-hmm. they have the rhythm guitar player and the bass player from the band.
Yeah,
that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They have a fantastic singer, of course, but it's not the singer. So it's, in a way, it'll always kind of, yeah, it is Queensryche. And no, and dude, you know, Todd has worked so hard and he's so serious.
Sure.
Like watching him, it was really cool to watch him perform. I mean, he truly is amazing. And one of the few, him, Andrew Freeman, these guys are like, I've seen them over the years and they truly are amazing. So please know that I highly respect them. But the growing up with Queensryche, you know, of course I'm going to remember Jeff, you know. So when Todd's up there, he's like, we just remember, we are the one and the only Queensryche. It's like,
no. You know what? but it goes back to the same thing. Do you want a good show or not?
You know, it's a great show.
And I'll put the Queensryche, I'll say that the Queensryche of today, and I've seen Queensryche 20 whatever times. I've seen Queensryche all the way back to Rage for Order. The best show of my entire life, the best concert I've ever seen, was Day on the Green 91, which was Metallica, Queensryche, Faith No More, and Soundgarden.
Nice.
The best show of my entire life. I have mm-hmm. the posters sitting next up in my house.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's the show. Queensryche was amazing with Jeff Tate in the day. They just were. And I'm telling you, Todd LaTorre, every bit as good. Every bit as those shows today, when I saw it, me and Kelly went and saw it. It's probably been about 4 or 5 years now because it's right before the pandemic. But mm-hmm. We went and saw it, and it was amazing. I mean, yeah. flat out amazing. What's your option? The shows that Queensryche was doing with Jeff before the whole blow up and fight and ouster and all that shit mm-hmm. were terrible. Not bad, not quite on par. They were terrible. I saw them 2 or 3 years in a row, different tours, when they did American Soldier and then when they did Dedicated to Chaos, and they sucked. And this is from a hardcore Queensryche fan. Mm-hmm. And they sucked.
Right.
I'm glad that they split. Jeff seems to be back sounding really good again. And LaTorre sounds great. Keep it that way.
Yes.
Same as like with Accept. The Mark Tornillo Accept, the ones that they're doing now, fantastic. Right. The UDO band that Udo does,
right?
Fantastic. Don't merge. Stay apart. Keep giving me good music.
Yeah, both of them, you know, to twice the reason to go out and keep seeing shows or what have you. But I'll always side with Team Piercy on that. He should be able to do whatever he wants to.
Of course.
In these twilight years. And, you know, I used to be really uncomfortable with that because I was like, man, they were such a huge band. And, I you know, I was like 12 years old when Round and Round came out. So
sure.
I'll always have a deep respect for them. You're not going to hear, you know, I might joke or make a Blotzer joke or something here or there, you know, but like, I respect him just as much. I mean, he's a very unique drummer. And, you know, these guys have never, you know, said anything negative about me publicly. I mean, whether they do behind the scenes, probably. I mean, I'm not expecting them to, you know, have any love for the guys in Piercy's band. You know, but I do know, you know, being Steven's friend, all their dramas and stuff, and it's draining, you know, just to mm-hmm. to hear about it. And it's like, it's strange to me when people want to see a group of people that can't stand each other anymore.
Yeah.
And then you have, and I don't want to twist things because I know there was a time when, you know, people were saying, oh, Steven doesn't want to do it, which wasn't true or something. You know what I mean? That wasn't necessarily true. But I know recently Warren did. I was surprised, put out a press release where he's like, it's not worth the headache, you know, this. And you know, for whatever, how you could take that however it is, but I mean, it's not, you know, something that's high on his priority list. And I don't think that he's going to come in, you know, as a hired guy at some discount price.
No,
you know,
of course not. Why would he?
No, of course he's going to be probably the biggest pain he could be if you know,
and he's like related to that Mars company or whatever. He doesn't need the money.
I don't know what, I don't want to be somebody who throws that around because he's corrected people on that.
Is it not true?
I know there's something there, but I don't want to, you know, say that. I mean, he probably makes more money selling the damn snakeskin guitars and stuff. I mean,
yeah, he probably does.
A freaking iconic dude.
He is. You know, no, you're
you
right,
know
how
people buy that freaking Charvel of his, the snakeskin one? And I mean, there's people that, you know, he has there's a deep respect, even though he hasn't really done too much outside of that band in the 80s. I mean, you know, he holds a place in all these people's hearts. So like
it's a very unique sound.
It is. He has a very unique sound. You know, Johnny very much respects that sound, and he's trying his best. Where I didn't really care, you know, there was like, I don't want to say I dumbed everything down. I certainly didn't overplay anything of Warren's, you know what I mean? I still did some the songs that we did. I felt that I, looking back, played the solos pretty damn close, whether it was like You're in Love or Lay It Down or stuff like that. I played them. They sounded fine. Now that we're like adding, you're doing the Out of the Cellar record in its entirety, some of these deep cuts, Warren did some pretty miraculous stuff on there that honestly, in 5 years of trying to do it, maybe I would get smooth at it.
Sure.
Johnny's, you know, learned that stuff from back in the 80s. He's just, you know, he knows what's happening. His fingers are revved up and ready to go. He loves to play the more technical stuff where I maybe, you know, honestly play more like Robin. Like I'm more comfortable doing like a kind of Robin solo that. And so we have made this switch, take it up with Mr. Monaco. No, we know that we have to play good. If those things are going to be up there, people are going to hold us to it where maybe they cut us some leeway as Stephen Piercy. They weren't maybe expecting it to be perfect, but if we're going to throw that logo back there, we better be.
Hell yeah.
You know,
and like you said, it's much better to be in a band where everybody likes each other.
Yeah.
You know, on CMS this weekend, we watched the Motley, the first show of the Motley tour.
Okay.
And it was dismal. And you can watch it and make your own decision. I'm sure you haven't seen it because you were playing yourself. But
right.
But
is this where Vince fell or something?
Yeah, Vince did a. Oh, that's really brutal. But even taking that out of the equation. Like there's zero interaction between the guys on the stage. None. They don't, like, you remember back in the days with Motley, Nikki would come and kind of lean on Vince's shoulder, or they'd put their arm around each other, or they'd be singing, or hey Tommy, yeah Vince, yeah, you know, all that kind of bullshit.
Check that out, Tommy. What, Vince? Yeah. Where? Wow.
Yeah, none of that. Now it's just four guys in four quadrants of the stage.
Are you telling me that they're not out riding Harley Davidson?
No, they're not. They're not running to do the gig from the strip club anymore.
That was so cool back then when you're like, wow, they're like showing the video and they're like,
yeah.
And Vince like pulls ahead. He's like, yeah, man, what's up? That must have been, how awesome must it have been to be those dudes back then, man?
That's just probably Hollywood, great.
The Saints of Los Angeles back
they
then.
They were the amazing kings, man. They were the absolute kings. But now, it's very clear they probably don't speak to each other until they're on the stage. They don't speak to each other on the stage. It was weird to see. And seeing John 5 up there, and I know this is not his first go around with it, but the guy's as talented as anybody. I mean, he's note perfect.
Right.
Literally, he's note perfect without any of the feel. It does not have any of the feel. He plays the notes.
Yeah.
But there's a difference between playing the notes and having that, whatever that is in your hands. You know it because you're a guitar totally player.
Do. Yep.
And I don't know what you call that, if it is feel or if it's groove or if it's ear. I don't know what it is. But whatever it is, it only comes from when you wrote the song.
Right.
And John 5 doesn't have it. I'm sure you probably don't feel like you have it when right. you're playing a Warren solo, when you're playing Nobody Rides for Free, mm-hmm. I'm sure you're probably not thinking, man, I sound just as good as Warren.
I haven't had to be him on that one. That's another okay. one of those ones that we've added since Johnny took over.
Well, any of them, around and round. Around and round, I'm sure you don't feel like, God damn it, I'm doing this just as good as Warren.
I thought I was Johnny.
Did you?
Hey, you're not doing the... Blah, 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 blah. There's like this one part of the solo where... actually, I think it's a George Lynch move. I don't know which guy did it first because they were all friends. J.P. Lee, George, Warren, which are all my favorite guys, right? Mm-hmm. They would show each other licks and stuff. And there was a move they do where they kind of jerk the guitar off, basically.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a squirrely little move that just seems kind of like right. I don't know. I didn't think it was necessary, but I mean, obviously, like, but you know, John, no, if you're gonna do it, you have to do it. And the ones that really like love Warren, you know, oh, you got to do the
jerk off.
He pointed out I wasn't doing that. I did start doing it for like the last 2 years. I started doing that in there,
right?
But he's gonna try to do all those little goofy nuances and stuff. Yeah. You know, for me, dude, I'll be honest, like the solo in the song is like, you know, such a short part of the song. Like, mm-hmm. how about the 3 minutes and 20 seconds that we actually got to play good rhythm guitars and sing this shit?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, this the fans, most of them, 80% of them probably wouldn't know if you changed a note or fucking mm-hmm. you know, just most of them don't know that. It's just like the most hardcore Warren guy who can play that stuff,
sure,
say something.
Well, and the rhythm is more important anyway, because man, if you go off pace a little bit, or the drummer, more the drummer than you, but the rhythm guitar player as well, if you go off pace even a little bit, the whole song can go wonky in like a second.
You're telling me, man. You know, I got to give Blas credit though, man. He is freaking solid. Like, I'm really amazed. He's like I feel like we have like a superhero in the band or something. Like, he looks like Thor or something. Like, it's like, he's all tall. He's like, what, this right. tall, and it's strange, you know, and his energy on stage, when you watch him, that video is, it's like, where the hell has he been hiding all these years?
Right?
Like, it's the guy. Like, when they introduced the band, the crowd screamed so loud for him. It was insane. Sure. I mean, even those, the Beacon Theater and so, Charlie Cat. The Beacon Theater, like, girls before the show are like, oh, they go, okay, let's go, and then like all like 10 of them at the same time goes, Blas, we love you.
Nice.
Never get that shit out, the rest of us. Yeah,
well, he was in a chick band with Slaughter. That's Slaughter right. was loved by the ladies, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it's because they were all like that. I mean, they all kind of looked it was looks first, music second. And right. I'm not saying that those guys were bad musicians either. I'm just saying that it was all about the MTV videos with Slaughter. Slaughter was the ultimate MTV band.
Right.
They really were. But all right, I think we've given the kids enough, my friend. I think that's plenty. For those of you that will be checking this out again or later or whatever, there will be two interviews added to this thing. Before I post it online, one will be Cannibal Corpse and 6 Feet Under guitarist Jack Owen, a legend in the death metal world, and Corey Glover of Living Color, another
wow.
legend.
Yeah.
So this is a good episode if you like the interviews as well. I will be adding those in tonight before I go to sleep so that I can get this shit done. And let me go to my little screeny screen thing here. Eric, tell the people where you might be.
Well, as I was saying, we're going to play the Hard Rock with Quiet Riot on the 17th in Oklahoma. Let's see. That's on the, May 17th. Then we got May 25th. We're playing the casino in Dania Beach, Florida.
Okay.
Chris and I are going to be doing Fright Night Part 3.
That's right.
On where he and Count Dracula on Tuesday the 20th. That's right after Chris gets back. We are going to not be doing a Memorial Day Chris
Aiken.
Chris has got big things going on at Pinball PA that weekend, but there is going to be a Fright Bite. How are you going to watch the Fright Bite? Chris, tell them how they watch the Fright Bite.
Well, they will simply sign up for the Eric Ferrantino's Facebook channel, the VIP Facebook, or the CMS Locals, which is classicmetalshow.locals.com. Either one. I'll tell you, cheap fucks, it's cheaper to go to Eric's than it is to mine. So go to Eric's. I don't care.
Go to both. Go to both, guys.
Well, go to both. If you subscribe to both, it's a whole whopping $6 a month.
That's right. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's so much content and fun stuff going on and on my page. Yeah. These watch-alongs are worth it, in my
opinion. They're fun. They are fun.
It's like a buck, and you're part of the show. I mean, when you get a personal invitation to these.
Yeah.
So you all of a sudden there's a message box. Eric gave you an invitation, and it'll have a link in there, and that's where you'll be taken to a special StreamYard show. So you're a VIP when you join this. Plus, I'm way more apt to like talk to people that are at least giving me a buck. You know what I mean? When people try to talk to me all day and harass me, it's like, okay, you better be a subscriber if you're gonna be blowing up my message box, you know. And certainly, I ain't interested in this, but people asking me for tickets to shows, you better be a subscriber.
You better be a subscriber. Absolutely,
you're asking
right.
me for free tickets to these concerts, and you're not you don't think it's worth $12 a year to be on my thing. Sorry, you're not worth my guest list.
I have a suggestion for this. I know me and you said we were going to talk about it. We can talk about it right here on the air.
I want to talk about it right now.
And you can say no if you don't want to watch it. Okay. But I would like to recommend Six-Headed Shark.
That sounds amazing.
But I'll give you a choice. I'll let you make the final decision. There is Six-Headed Shark, which, of course, is the sequel to Five-Headed Shark, which was the sequel to Four-Headed Shark.
Uh-oh.
Or we can go with Santa Jaws. We'll keep it in the ocean. We can go with Santa Jaws, or we can go with Six-Headed Shark.
I feel like Santa Jaws should be in December.
Good point.
Right?
Good point. And let me tell you, Six-Headed Shark has a little bit of everything.
Six-Headed Shark it is, folks.
It has Six-Headed Shark in it. It has plenty of killing in it. It has toxic waste in it. It has zombies in it. This movie is fantastic. Six-Headed Shark.
Well, I am going to begin promoting that this week if we can get more people coming to the party. But I was stoked that I got new subscribers. So people are figuring it out that there's stuff. I think what lets them know, too, is that the stuff I post on there, it's not posted anywhere else. And they are really liking the behind the scenes, which, and of course, Jason does a lot of behind the scenes stuff on his show, but this is different behind the scenes.
And Steven does too. Yeah.
I do hotel room confessions. Like, what is the Eric Ferrantino subscribers? It's my OnlyFans. My OnlyFans without me. Like, I'm not showing anything yet. You know, yeah, who knows? I might be a mess.
Might have to.
I might do something weird on there. You don't know.
There might be a special tier, the dick tier.
I had a friend. I don't want to say who it was, but he used to do a movie he called the Kodak Time Lapse.
Okay.
He would take his scrotum. And he would pull it up over his junk. And then he'd be all sweaty and sticky. And he'd be like, it'd be like I played in a band with in my local days. It'd be like a rehearsal is typically where he would do that, or after a show. And anyways, he'd go, like a flower slowly blooming. And then his scrotum would like unravel slowly. And then his dong would fall out of it. Oh, man. It was funny. But maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll do that sometime. Maybe if we get like hit 1,000 subscribers, I'll do the Kodak time lapse. I don't know.
I don't know. I think that'll kill about 200 of those subscribers.
You lost 30
subscribers. I'm unsubscribing right now.
No, I'm totally joking. I would never do something stupid like that. But I do sit there. I show my hotel rooms for the day. Get a little background on what's happening. It's great, of course, on the months where I have shows, because you know you're going to get some cool stuff in there. And then on the months where I am home, I'm doing episodes of Sea Glass Hunters that are going to feature Pete Evick soon. And it's worth it, man. Totally worth it. And there's nothing you can get for a dollar anymore. They're closed all the dollar stores around here.
That's right.
So what a bargain. So, and it supports us, and we love you guys and appreciate all the love you give.
So sign up. Sign up over there. You can sign up with the locals on Classic Metal Show as well, either one. Tons of fucking content over there. Jesus Christ. I'm uploading content every single day over there on that one.
Yep.
Of course, I will be, I have no, wow, you want to talk about having a lot of the days off. No Seth Williams show on Wednesday because Seth has an appointment. I will be doing CMS with Neely on Saturday. So there'll be 6 more hours of that fun time. As we said before, there is no anything that I'm involved in over Memorial Day. No CMS, no Chris Aiken Presents, no Seth Williams show. Everything is canceled because I am going to be in Pittsburgh for Johnny Gioeli of Hardline and Axel Rudy Pell. He's going to be doing a concert for me at Pinball PA, which you guys are all welcome to come up and see. You can get tickets to that over at pinballpa.com. Come out, play video games and pinball all day long, and then at the end of the night, get a concert by a world-renowned touring artist. So can't beat that. So that's where I will be.
Nice.
And I'll tell you where I'm going to be now, going into that room on that computer and doing more fucking sitting in front of a computer. So let's call it a day here. Wow. I was hoping we did an hour. We did almost two. We always ramble. It's funny. But all right. So for Chris Aiken Presents, I, of course, am Chris Aiken.
And I, of course, am Eric Ferrantinos.
And we will see y'all next week. See ya.
Get ready to turn up the excitement at your next event with the Perfect Choice Band, the ultimate party starters in Ohio and beyond. Picture this: two electrifying vocalists, a powerhouse rhythm section, and a horn ensemble that will blow you away. That's right, the Perfect Choice Band isn't just another cover band. We're here to transport you to the heart of the party with unforgettable renditions of your favorite hits. From classics to chart toppers, we've got your playlist covered. Our mission? To keep you singing and dancing until the stars fade into dawn. So, why settle for ordinary when you can have extraordinary? Call 440-346-5242 or visit us at perfectchoiceband.com to book the ultimate entertainment experience for your special day. The Perfect Choice Band, where every moment is music to your ears. Don't miss out. Book now and let's make memories together.